friends, it's time for a vacation. Don't you need a break from things? Let's relax together. Now, breathe in and breathe out. Breathe in. No, go ahead and breathe. Don't. See, you're so used to waiting for people to tell you what to do, you almost stopped breathing. Don't do that. I'm just giving you a serving suggestion for oxygen. You breathe how you want to breathe. But let us go on a vacation together because being a human being is difficult. I always think it's like a game show. Not the old kind of game show where Dorothy Kilgallen would say, "Are you in the entertainment industry or a politician?" But the kind that I believe has a Japanese origin, where they say, "Now, you're going to have to go take this egg and put it in that cup." And you say, "Well, that seems easy enough." While we throw grapefruits at your head. All right. And you're walking on Crisco or something. All right. And also stinging insects. That's what it's like to be a human being. You may think you have a clear goal, but oh, it's complicated by all these things. You have to do it in a storm. What if you had to do one of those jigsaw puzzles that y'all love in a windstorm, and then some of the pieces are missing, and it's not a jigsaw puzzle, and you don't even have hands? Well, maybe it's not that difficult. Some people seem to have a handle on it, but I have never really gotten the hang of being a human being. Not that I've been anything else or would want to be necessarily. I don't want to be anything that's not a human being. They have struggles that are even greater. I've seen those nature shows where a crab has to swim out in the ocean just to get to its family or something, and there's seagulls that are going to pluck it up and dash it against the rocks. And you think, well, why do I even bother? Well, because you're a contestant on this game show. All right, crab, go out there and try while seagulls nip at your head. But today I thought that we would go on a little break from being human. Last week, we went on a break from time, and we stepped out of time. That's always a relief. I like to do that. Then I don't have to look in the mirror and say, what is happening to my face? And why do my hands hurt? And why does everything hurt? You see, you can only get so many steroid shots in your joints, you know, and then the rest of it you sort of have to bear. You can't get one in your soul necessarily, can you? Could you give me one, Hardy White? I don't have anything to give. I'm sorry. It's like one of those things where you find out that maybe all the people following you on social media aren't famous. And you think, well, what can they do for me? I'm not exactly sure what I can do for you, but you never know. I may have some ingredient that you need to complete a recipe, and I may be willing to trade it for some other ingredient in that recipe, therefore setting you into one of those terrible, ironic fairy tales that we had to grow up with. Gift of the Magi or something. Here's your comb. Give me your hair. So that's what I'm saying to you today is that let's not have a need for a comb or hair. How are you going to do that? Well, come with me. We're going to go on a trip. We're going to go on a little vacation, and I'm going to bring you back in an hour. All you have to give me is an hour, and then I'm going to return it. It's like when you rent one of those luggage lockers at the Kyoto train station or something, you put in your gold John Wick coin, and then you get it back at the end. Maybe not all of it. I don't know how that works exactly. And there's a bite out of it, because there's a little bit of a fee for storing it. Well, I'm going to take some of that time that you'll never get back, but most of it you will. What's an hour in an entire lifetime? It is a percentage, but it's got so many zeros there in front of it that it's negligible. You can't really waste time, can you? Yes. Well, can you? Yes. I just keep asking. As long as you keep asking, I will never be wrong. Once the answer is arrived at, then I'm decidedly incorrect. So come with me. Where are we going to start? Where's the trip start, Hardy? Oh, gosh, you're awfully anxious. Should we do the breathing thing again? I don't know. Maybe breathing slowly isn't the answer. Sometimes if you breathe rapidly into a bag, it has the same effect. Let us begin in the sky. Let us begin as vapor. We are vapor in the sky. We are clouds. Can you do that?
I don't know.
Try. Imagine that we are vapor in the clouds. if you can go somewhere beyond imagination, that would be lovely if you could actually physically do. I don't know if any of you can manifest your thoughts immediately into reality. I've been trying to do that. I've gotten so many books on it, but I don't know if it's possible. Right now, I just have to sort of pretend, and I don't mind pretending. I did a lot of it as a child, and I found it very effective. And if you count pretending, the situations I've been in, certainly have been to war, but only in an empty lot in a cul-de-sac in a suburban neighborhood. But I felt threatened. And sometimes I really was, you know? I remember one time, I was out there, we were playing war, we had dug a ditch. Playing war? I don't know. That's something we did as kids. You know, I believe it was Hogan's Heroes. I thought I saw too much Hogan's Heroes. And not that there was any kind of active combat in that. It was mostly costumes and comedy. That's the kind of war. Give me that kind of war. So, no, don't. How about none? But we were playing it, and I remember I got stung by something. Something stung my hand, bit it real bad. And I remember I was like, this is it, y'all. This is it. Thank you. I wish I could be there when we achieve victory. But instead, this saddleback caterpillar has stung my hand, and I got to go crying to my granny. Please put something on it. And then she'd rub, I don't know, Vicks Vapor Rub on it or something. She rubbed everything, that on everything, including ham. I don't know if that's an Irish thing, but we're going to imagine we're in the clouds now, that we are vapor, just vapor. I'm vapor. I hope somebody with allergies doesn't inhale me therapeutically. No, you're way up here in the clouds. Nobody's going to do that. That's another thing that my mother and my grandmother had that. It was a face steamer. You ever seen one of those? You say, oh, don't you? There's other things that you usually steam, like cloth. Do you steam cloth? Rice, stamps off of envelopes. That might be another Hogan's Heroes thing. But I didn't realize you also steamed your face. And I don't know if that's still a thing. But it would be like a face that you put your face in it. I can't describe it. It looked like a blender, maybe almost. And you stick your face. Don't stick your face in an actual blender. And Hardy told me to. I did not. So it was when you stick your face in, and then the steam builds up. And it fires steam up under your face. And what's supposed to happen is your pores open up. And then when your pores open up, they release toxins. I'm making quote marks because I don't know that there's actually, you know, lots of maybe there are. I really don't know. I think there's a lot of chemical waste in my pores because my pores look like the set of Tarkovsky's Stalker, with just rivers of steaming green industrial waste. And so what you do, open it up, and then you go to the sink and you wash your face quickly while the pores are still open, because then they're going to slam shut again like that. It's like, I don't know if you've ever traveled through space and time, but it's like a wormhole. You know, once you get it, you can't really clean it unless it opens up. So you have to wait there till the wormhole cleans up. Or opens up, and then you can get in there, scrub it out, and then the cold water will seal it again. And I don't know what the step after that is. Now, as a child, I didn't really need to steam my face the way that my mother and grandmother thought they did. But I wanted to use the device. I said, let me steam my face. So they'd let me do it. It's cute. My grandfather was sort of appalled. He goes, shouldn't you be pretending to shave with a safety razor that has no blade in it? Yeah, all right, I guess so. I did that also. I was like, teach me how to shave. And then once I started shaving, I really regretted it. I go, man, this is pretty awful. I guess that's why I have usually have a big bushy beard. And that's just a sign of laziness. The concession I make is I do cut my nails. I will do that. I'm no Howard Hughes, either financially or sartorially. I like to, you know, or whatever you call it, my hygiene is a little better than the first billionaire I ever remember. But we are water vapor now. Not literally. We're imagining that. We're back up in the sky. I'm sorry, I keep ripping you out of the sky and bringing you back down to my childhood. But you know, my childhood is mainly in the clouds right now, I think floating around. I don't know that those things even happened. They are just memories now, and I don't even have much proof of them. If I had to prove them, that would be terrible. What if the bureaucracy required you to prove your dreams and then get a stamp on them or something? There's no paper trail for a lot of my memories, and I'm not sure they're entirely accurate. And a lot of people who participated in them are dead, and it would be really hard to get their sort of official testimony. How do you depose the dead? I'd have to hire one of those people that purports to speak with them. I'm seeing your mama, grandma, yes, I'm seeing grandma. Her name is Deborah Grov, Marjorie, yes, Grandma Marjorie. So one of those people, and then they say, yes, that's not the way your grandmother remembers it. We are water vapor, and we're up there in the clouds, and now, but this isn't the end of our, we're not just going to float up here. That'd be silly. That's just like spending all your time at the train station, which you can do. Oh, I've done that. Sometimes the airport or the train station can be a destination. If it's a really nice one, let's say it's Zurich or something, which I've never been to, but I understand. I've seen it. It looks amazing. Big train station, shops, art, stuff like that. Kyoto, I've been to that one. There's a couple in New York that are lovely. Airports. What's some nice ones? I like Detroit, Atlanta. I've spent a lot of time in both of them. Get stranded there, it's like, this is not too bad. It's like getting stranded in a mall. And unlike most human beings, I've had good experiences with the people working there because they're human beings and they work for a living. And a lot of times, they're relatable. So, and I've been in that position of being extremely thankful for kindness. Have you done that where somebody, you're sort of, maybe you're stranded in an airport or something, and an employee does something for you, and that kindness sort of enables you to move on, and you become massively grateful that you've been shown compassion. I love that state. I wish I could just preserve that, a feeling like I just thank you so much, other human being. I now give you my blessing and the blessing of all my ancestors and all the power of the Hardy White family. May your existence be tolerable. May you have joy. That's what I feel with the smallest kindness. Sometimes I want to go overboard and get, you know, little did you know that I, Hardy White, am a being of pure spiritual light, and I have come to reward you for your... I'm just a fool. I'm a fool, and I apologize for my clothes smell musty, and I'm not an angel or anything, but I can give you thanks, and I can give you watery, sad cow eyes. Make them glisten. Thank you. We are in the sky, and we are clouds right now. We are water, and now it's time to coalesce. We're going to come together to do this next part. Some of us have to come together. Now, remember, we're not human beings anymore. We could put away all that stuff, all those worries. If you want us to put away the worries, please stop mentioning airports, okay? But hear me out. I was in an airport not long ago, and there was a bird inside, as often there often is. And I don't know whether it was Detroit or Atlanta. It was not Newark. There's no room for a bird in there. At least in the terminal I was in. It's like, well, there's barely any room for people. How are they going to get birds in here? But it was a bird in there. And the bird has a different... it's different needs and perspective. It's not going anywhere, you know, just waiting for you to drop a piece of food from one of the many wonderful restaurants there. Not restaurants. What do you call them? Restaurants. Not restaurants. What are they? Fast food. Not restaurants. I don't know what they are. But people drop things all the time. Bird swoops down, pretends it's You know, it's got a little suitcase to pretend to fit in. I don't blame it. A lot of times, the thing where the bird goes wrong is a lot of times a very old-fashioned birds and they wear a little blazer. And people don't do that when they travel, except for me. And I get compliments, but I'm not, I don't know if they're sarcastic. And I say thank you, but I say, hey, nice jacket. Thank you. I think you're being sincere. And I do think people appreciate when you sort of take chances with your dress. People aren't really as conformist as you think they are. They just, nobody wants the hassle of having to defend their individuality. It's hard all the time. So I want to be myself, but it's exhausting sticking out. I don't want to stand out all the time. Sometimes I want to blend in. Oh, my blessed sweet soul. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. That's why we're doing this right now. That's why right now we've become a raindrop. And we're going to fall towards the earth. And now we're learning the first lesson or the first demonstration of perspective, which is an amazing thing. So as we fall towards the earth, it looks small, doesn't it? It looks small, and as we get closer, it's large and looming. Now, this is going to be true of everything. Everything at a distance seems small and manageable, and when it's upon you, and when you're in it, and when you can no longer see the edges of it, it is overwhelming, and it feels as if it's consuming you. So once again, giant fish at a distance, fun. Giant fish up close, in the belly of, confining, overwhelming, constraining, frightening. But we don't have to worry, because right now, we are water. And I know Bruce Lee said, be like water, but he didn't mean it. Why do you think he didn't mean it? I don't know. I think he was just saying, be like one aspect of water, not fully be like water every moment of the day. He was like, be like water in that you flow, or I don't know. I think it would be, being like water in Kung Fu, I don't think would be very effective, because, you know, water is effective over time. It wears things down, doesn't it? It has to hit something over and over for years and years and years, and then we say it moves mountains. But one raindrop doesn't move a mountain. So I would think in Kung Fu, you know, just a matter of going up to your opponent and going and like boring them until they finally drop dead would just take too long. So I think what he meant is like mostly be like a rock, but a watery rock. Again, I'm no Bruce Lee, but also I'm still alive. Not that he was responsible for his death. Is anyone? I'm not going to argue about it. I don't understand anything about free will, so I can't say. I don't know who's responsible for anything or what causes anything, really. I know that's a cop-out, but I don't, you know, you shouldn't be looking to me for answers or questions, or you shouldn't. In fact, please don't look at me right now. That's why I'm on radio. I don't really want you to look at me. Then I might do something visually. You know, I might feel the need to entertain or educate. Say, oh, shouldn't radio either entertain or educate? How about neither? Well, we have neither. It's called, you know, torture. Okay. Is there a benevolent neither? No. Well, you think about that for a while I go back to directing your raindrop meditation. No, you're not. Don't meditate. I mean, you can meditate. I mean, right now, don't, because I want you to listen to me. And I'm afraid if you start meditating, you'll turn my voice into a wah, 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 like that, which is lovely if you're trying to sort of tune out the world and kill the Buddha. But what I, you know, just stick with me for a minute. I promise you that we're going somewhere, but when you open your eyes, you'll be back where you started. How about that? We are. Water falling towards the earth. Now the earth is getting larger. Oh no, it's getting bigger. And I see it. It's coming up on me. I'm on the slam into it. Hardy, we're going to slam in it. We're going faster and faster. Don't worry, we're water. It's not going to matter. And we're headed towards that creek. We're headed towards a creek. And here we go. Boom. Are we in the creek? Are we moving along the creek? Well, we missed the creek by a little, but we hit a rock. So we're going to sit, which is, I think, better. Because if we're in the creek, we may not be able to appreciate the creek. But here from the vantage point of the rock, we can look down at that flowing water and hear the gurgle. It sounds just gurgle, gurgle, gurgle. Sounds just like somebody choking on their own phlegm, doesn't it? Except it's nicer, more relaxing than that. Oh, I can't make the sound. I can't do it. I'm really pretty good at impressions, but a bubbling, gurgling creek? No, that sounds like somebody hitting a stake. So let's just sit here and enjoy it. Oh, there's nothing around. And all the living things, they're all subtle. They're not boisterous living things, like monkeys. No. They're all subtle living things. I can't even see them right now. Did you ever go into the woods and you sit by a little stream or a creek and you're listening to it and you're thinking, where's all the wildlife? I was told there's all this wildlife. Well, there's life all around you, but you don't always see it, and that's by design. Not everything wants to make itself obvious, especially if it's small. If it's small, it might spend its time sort of living obscurely. There's nothing wrong with that. Who said that? The guy, I'll think of it in a minute. One of the pre-Socratic Greeks, Epicurus. That's what Epicurus said, live obscurely. He also said, don't eat fava beans. So I don't know which was the correct advice. Why did he say don't eat fava beans? Well, apparently fava beans have a hollow stalk. And a lot of times souls will use that to come up out of the underground towards the heavens. Or either way, maybe they use it to descend into hell. I don't know. But anyway, a fava bean stalk is basically like the Holland Tunnel. So, and you wouldn't eat anything that came out of the Holland Tunnel. And I believe there Epicurus's logic is consistent. So we are sitting by this creek. This is very relaxing to me. I need it. I need the break. All this stuff. I read the news. Do you? Well, some of it. But the thing that bothers me is I really feel compelled to solve these things. When someone tells you a problem, especially if they're family sometimes, you think, well, are you telling me your problem to vent or you want me to do something about it? Because I feel like maybe you're asking me to help solve it. And I'm not sure I can. And I'm feeling more helpless. Because a lot of these things are so far outside of my control. And then I think to myself, well, I think your job is to maybe live your values consistently. To do the small things and everything. Well, that can't possibly be, because what it looks like is you're asking me to solve things on a grand scale for all time. And I'm not sure I can do that, especially because I've traveled through time and I've seen so difficult to solve things or to even help. By the time you get around to helping somebody, sometimes they're dead. So, well, at least we're helping the next generation. Well, they might be dead too, so I'm not sure what I can do. And a lot of times I have the energy and the stamina to be okay with that or to fight on, but other times I think I need a little vacation. So here we sit, a little puddle of water, together, by a creek. Now you know we're going to jump in that creek. I know we are. Then it's going to get crazy, because as you can see, it's very crowded. It's very crowded. It's like a street full of people. It's like a street full of cars or people. Have you ever seen them flow? Have you ever seen that many people where the crowd's flowing like that? They actually do behave like water a lot of times. I remember reading about traffic flow and traffic jams. And I was told in this article that I read years ago, living in Atlanta because it's a problem. Living in Atlanta is a problem? Traffic is a problem when you're living in Atlanta. And sometimes you'd be on the connector or something and things would mysteriously stop. And then you'd finally move forward, and there was no evidence that there was any reason for things to stop. Not an accident, nothing going on, and Captain What's-His-Name, eye in the sky, sometimes slow down. Sometimes it was just people slowed down, and that slowing down compounds, and it's like water freezing. So I was told, like, the flowing traffic is water, and sometimes it freezes. And other times, it boils and everybody shoots one another. But we are going to get in that creek. And I don't know where we're going to go. And then you know what's really in charge when we get in there is gravity. It's every time I look at a flowing stream and it seems to be just moving sideways, I realize that what I'm watching really is gravity. It's going down. Even though I can't tell it is, sometimes it looks like it's just moving straight across, but it's moving down. It's gravity that's keeping that water going somewhere. And then the water finds those paths of least resistance. So I can't go here. I got to go around it. But ultimately, I have to go down because gravity is persistent. Gravity, be like gravity, where you don't notice it until your face slams into the concrete. And then you think, man, that's a powerful force. I can see now how it drags planets around. You take it for granted. But boy, that's some powerful stuff. And we're going to ride it. We're going to get on that gravity, and we're going to ride it like it's a wave. We're going to ride it like it's a beautiful, rideable thing. I don't want to name it a specific animal. What do I want to ride? There's not many animals I want to ride. I've been on a horse, and I like it generally. But the horses, they seem a little, they don't always seem real comfortable with themselves or something. Like there's something bothering them. That's what I always feel like I'm on a horse. Like they're going along with this, but they're like, I don't know. You know, I think I might just snap. Maybe it's the horses I've been on. And then I'd like to ride an elephant, but they're so sensitive. I wouldn't want to offend them or anything. They're very emotional creatures. So I think if I offended the elephant, you know, if it loved me, I think it would love me deeply. And if it hated me, I think it would hate me deeply. So maybe I don't need to ride on anything. Maybe I could just ride on gravity. And I've done that accidentally many times, falling. But we're going to get in the water. And here we go. Now, usually, I get in the water as a leaf, as a driven leaf, and I ride the stream that way. But see, then I'm sort of just on it. We're going to go in it. Are you ready?
I think so.
You've kind of got to go with me because water's kind of sticky, you know? I mean, if we're together and we're water droplets, we're probably going to team up. They're that way. They like to, water's very clicky. Very clickish, right? So it's always, there's not a lot of individual water molecules that are like, I'm good by myself. I'm a GDI. No, you've got to join some sort of social organization with other water and be a puddle or something like that, or a lake or something, go crazy. But we're an ocean. All right. Salty bunch. But we're going to go in a creek, fresh water. We're not going to worry about salt, which is really ground up dead things. And here we go. We're in the water, we're in the creek, we're in the creek. Oh, this is a different experience than experiencing it from the outside, from looking at it, being in it, moving along. What do I have to do? You don't have to do anything. You just have to, I don't know, just be. Oh, I don't know if I can just be. I start thinking about other things. Oh, I can't even lay in bed at night where I know I am safe and rest without thinking of a million things that I am doing wrong or a million things I have to do. It must be so hard to be on your deathbed where you go say, oh, this is cool. You don't have to think of anything anymore. No. Now I want to think of things. Now I want to worry. No, you don't have to worry. Just going to drift off into oblivion. No. Now I sort of want to have insomnia. Now I want to stay up fretting about what I will do tomorrow. Okay, now you do. But that's why we're taking a little break here. so we can die without dying. Because you don't want to go anywhere yet. You want to get some worrying in first. Some of it's fun. But we're nothing now. We're just water flowing along. And if you're driving, if you can imagine this, if you're driving in your car right now, which some of you do when you listen to the radio, I do that. I do it for company. And here you are, you've tuned to this station where you don't have to group people talk in their own voices and not in some strange cadence that's particular to a certain type of radio, which I'm not putting down. I'm just fascinated that everybody has a very similar voice. And I say, you're not allowed to do that on certain radio stations. This what I'm doing right now? No. Who's our next guest? I don't know, man. So you're not allowed to do that. You must sound as if you know what you're doing. You must sound polished. I'm not polished. I'm not going to be polished unless water runs over me repeatedly. And until I'm worn down, I will not be polished. Oh, no, I'm broken. Aren't you broken? I'm terribly broken. I've been ripped apart from other me's, other you's. I feel separated. I have jagged edges. I am not a polished pebble. And besides, you can't tell those apart. If you pick up a polished pebble, you say, what's that look like? It looks like a flat egg. What's this one look like? It looks like a flat egg. What's that one look like? A flatter egg. Pick up a jagged stone. What does that look like? That looks like a piece of cucumber that's been cut in the Japanese diagonal random style. I forget what it's called. It's got a name, too. Oh, I just learned it. I just learned how to slice cucumbers in a weird way. Oh, I forget. But that's the kind of rock I am. Well, you pick it up and say, what's that rock? Oh, that's not a rock. That's a spearhead. You mean an arrowhead? No, a lot of people confuse, Stone Age arrowheads. What you're really looking at is a spearhead. An arrowhead's even smaller. Okay, that's a spearhead. All right. Is it Clovis? I don't know what its name is, but it's definitely an arrowhead. Or maybe not, or maybe that's naturally formed. I think that sometimes. I think that some people look at Hardy White and they say, look, it's a tool. Hardy White's a tool. No, I think he's just shaped like that. So that's the thing. You know, is it by design or by accident? If I say something that resonates with you, is it by design or by accident? If I say something that touches you, did I mean it? We are in the stream. Rushing forward. I don't even know if we can see. Do we have eyes? That's the thing. But you can perceive yourself. Where are we going? We're going towards a larger body of water. But I bet it's just another creek. It rained really heavily the other day, so I went out in the neighborhood. And we have lots of creeks that are now used mainly for stormwater runoff. But they were proper creeks. And they joined up, these branches joined up with larger ones. And they flowed, all of them flowed. And eventually they come out into the Kentucky River, which I believe is flowing east to west into the Missouri. I believe it comes down a mountain with some other streams. I think that's the case. And so, but all that flows in north to south into this west flowing large river, ultimately, that once you get to it, you have to cross it on a ferry. We have a road here called Tate's Creek Road. And if you take Tate's Creek Road to its end, and it does end, that's what's crazy. It's like a big major road here going through Lexington, Kentucky, but you get to the end of it and there's the river. And you got to take a ferry across. And you do have to pay. Do you have to pay the ferryman to get you to the other side? Ferryman. And then he gets you to the other side and you go, oh, I shouldn't have done that. This is a very someone's rural neighborhood. I'm going to go ahead and make a loop and come back. But it's really fun. I loved it. I loved the having the car go across the ferry. The only other place I did that, I remember, I've done that at that end of Tate's Creek Road and in the Camargue. What's the Camargue? The Camargue is a salt marsh in the south of France. It's in the south of France, and it's a salt marsh just like the one outside of Tallahassee that I grew up with. We'd go to one called St. Mark's. And St. Mark's, there's a salt marsh. Now, the one in France does not have alligators, but the one in North Florida does have alligators. But they're both a salt marsh, and they both look like a salt marsh. Also, there's not a walled city called Egmont in North Florida, as far as I know. If it was, it's long gone. There is a ghost town called Magnolia in the middle of the woods in North Florida. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah. These folks moved to North Florida. They believed that there was going to be a railroad, I think this is the right story, between Tallahassee and Apalachicola. And they thought that the town they were founding, which was sort of in the middle of the woods, was going to be on that railroad. So they thought, we're going to get in on this. Unfortunately, the railroad went way around them. And what they had done is they had just colonized the middle of the woods, man. They just built their homes in the middle of the woods, surrounded by snakes and palmetto bushes and lots of menace. And they all died of yellow fever. And there's nothing left there. There's nothing left but a cemetery in the middle of very thick woods. And I don't mean like just, I mean thick woods that you really don't want to go into, because they are the residence of lots of rattlesnakes and other stuff that, bless them, you know, that's the, I'm cool with that. I don't resent them for being there. I have no business in a rattlesnake's village, but they've been reclaimed. Now, the Camargue, like that, that also was a place that people insisted on living, even though it was mosquito-infested. And there was no reason to go there, really, except maybe greed for land or something. People always want to live where they have no business living. Lots of other people-friendly places. The Camargue also has two very strange things. Lots of white horses and flamingos. And I don't fully understand why that is, but I'll let you have that image for a while. Pink flamingos and white horses. Like David Lynch or something. Now, we are water. We're not going towards a salt marsh right now. We're back in the creeks and streams that I followed on that rainy day. And on that rainy day, I got to witness water rushing where it hasn't rushed in a long time. And these creeks, they often go underground because people would want to build somewhere. And they go, well, there's a creek. Well, we'll just put something on top of it. And they did. But the thing with water is water will not be stopped. And so the creeks, they go underground. And these rivers, they'll go right under there. And sometimes they go right under people's houses. And you'll buy a house and you go, gosh, it's awfully damp under there. Why is that? And they go, well, because you're on top of, you know, Babunskin Stream or something. Really? And the realtor didn't mention it. Isn't that funny? So the water will not be stopped. It just keeps going. We're just going to keep going. Nothing's going to stop us. We're one of these underground rivers, one of these underground creeks. You know what else is built on a salt marsh? You know what else is built on top of rivers and creeks? London. London. Really? You mean jolly old London town? No, I don't think so. I think just London, England, United Kingdom. Oh, yeah, it's old marsh. They built stuff on it, and they kept building stuff on it. Now, that one's very old. They've done that for a long time. But there you go. You're saying nobody has any business living in London? I don't think I said that. I think I said we're water. We are water. And now we're flowing. Where are we going? I don't know. But you see, that's not our concern now. We're on vacation. We'll go whither the thing takes us to. That's our Latin. I wish I could say it in Latin, because that'd be our little motto on our coat of arms. Whither the water would wait, would blah, 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 like that. And just sew that on all your clothing as we go into battle. We're going into battle? Nope. That's another good thing. Don't have to worry about that. I promise I will get you back home and you can start worrying again and start fretting and things like that, and start wringing your hands until you rub all the flesh off of them. You go, why are my hands just bare bone? I've had a toe ache, and I went the other day to the doctor. I said, doctor, I got a toe ache. Is it gout? And he said, no. The good news is it's not gout. And I go, why is that good news? There's a pill for it. Yes. I said, well, what's the bad news? He goes, well, it's real bad arthritis and bone spurs like you wouldn't believe. And I go, oh, so that's why it feels like somebody's taking a pair of vice grips and trying to rip my toe off. And go, yes, that's it. So he shot me full of steroids, and I was like, oh. And he said, well, no, you're not cured. And I said, I don't care. I'll take the however long it lasts. Now I can walk around. Gosh, I'm walking around again. I forgot how much I like to walk. I do feel bad because I bought a really, really cool-looking cane. And now I guess I'll need it again, but now I don't mind putting it in the corner. I guess I'd rather walk. But it is a very cool-looking cane. It's almost like I spent a lot of money on a really nice wig, and then all my hair grew back. It's sort of like that, but I think I'll take the hair. I think I'll take the being able to walk again. I had taken it for granted. We do that with health. I have friends that have, even bigger challenges when it comes to pain or health or anything like that. There are people that are having more grapefruits thrown at their head than I am. Do you hear me? They have more. There's more Crisco on their floor even. There's almost no way they're going to get that egg in the cup. And we keep screaming at them, get the egg in the cup, get the egg in the cup. It makes it worse and worse and worse. I feel like saying, don't worry about the egg in the cup. It's a pointless task anyway. Just dodge the grapefruit. That's okay. You don't have to do it. Those things away. So much pressure to be things you aren't. I spent a lot of time trying to fool people and to think I had it more together and was smarter than I was, or that I was wiser than I was. And it's exhausting. I couldn't do it. I don't want to have to pretend. On top of everything, it's hard enough doing things without that. But I'm just going to shake it off, and I'm going to go into the woods and just take a break from those who keep yelling, get the egg in the cup, get the egg in the cup. No one's yelling that here to us. We're just water. All we hear is, and we're moving forward, and we're moving forward, and now, it's a pond. Gravity's taking a break. Gravity seems to be taking a break. That's what happens with things that are placid on top. It's a lake. This must be the final destiny. Here we are. Oh, this is nice. Let's look up at the clouds. That's where we just were. Did you ever do that? Did you ever climb up a mountain? And then you look down and you go, that's where we just were, down there. And now we're up here. But we're doing the opposite. We're down here. We used to be up there. In the sky. And then remember, we coalesced, we became a water drop, and we fell down, and then we took that wild ride, and now we are this pond, this lake. Wait a minute. I know what this is. This is a mill pond. What's that? It's a mill pond. They've directed water here to collect water to run a water wheel for a mill. Really? Yes. Wow. You know, mills are wonderful, crazy things. Water is a wonderful thing because it actually provides, it's full of energy. It's full of all of this energy you don't think about, but all that rushing water, people use it. Yeah, we know what hydropower is. Right, you need a dam for that. But, you know, there's hydropower that comes from streams, and we would use that to grind wheat and things. That's a mill. You can use it to turn a big wheel, and that wheel, you know, we'll drive something that the water wheel can move like a millstone. And then the millstone does the grinding, but it's all coming from just a stream or the drip from a mill pond. Or, in the case of Paterson, New Jersey, it came from waterfalls. And Alexander Hamilton said, "I see this beautiful waterfall in Paterson, New Jersey," he said. "How can I exploit it for economic gain? I look out on this beautiful landscape, all these woods and waterfalls, and I see industry, factories. I see people toiling and laboring and sweating to make things for others." And oh, what a visionary. And so he did that. He set up one of the first public-private alliances there, where they'd come together, and government and business would interfere with one another, and they would, what do you call it, when you have something that comes together like that? Conspire. They would conspire together to make this thing, to make industry. Now, it was a giant failure, and I don't know, that had nothing to do with Alexander Hamilton's death, but, and I don't know if that's in, I haven't seen the musical, so I don't know if him going to Paterson and exploiting the power of water was part of it. I'm sure it was. You know, I'm Alexander Hamilton, I'm here to say, I see this water today, going to make a mill. Remember the rhymes with mill. Grind, 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 grind. And then he'd take the millstone, and he would wiki wiki whack like it was ones and twos. Tick 12, a big stone, tick 12. Beat mix with actual beats, the root kind. We are that water. Now what are we going to do? Well, we're going to fall against a mill, a water wheel, and then we're done. Oh, now we're moving on. Yeah, we're moving on. We won't even see that thing we made. I know. Isn't that interesting? That's like life. We fall against a water wheel. It produces something. Say, oh, I think we've made something. I think we have contributed collectively to doing something. And I can't even see it as I'm going on. I keep going. That's it. That's it. All that you accomplish stays in life as you move on, as you transform into something else. It all stays here. Everything you do is just part of this. It stays here. It doesn't go with you. You get drained. They take it all out of you. And then you move on. Say, wow, that's just like, it's almost like your garden, you know, where I provide all this fruit. And then I dry up and you rip me out by the roots and plant something new the next year. Yeah, it's not tragic unless you see it as tragic. I think these moments, though, where we get to take a vacation together, where we get to step outside of it, that's the real beauty. How are we even doing that? Through the power of radio. Oh, we're just driving down the street and I'm just some stranger speaking to you. But it's a friend. Oh, I'm a friend because there's nothing I can do over the radio, really, to betray you or to get us in trouble. I guess if you got pulled over or something, you left the radio on and I was yelling something crazy, I guess that could do it. So what are you listening to there? Nothing. Oh, it's a Hardy White. I'm turning him in. That's okay. Blame me. I don't mind. I'm just a voice on the radio. Blame me. Blame me. That's a good thing. Blame the clouds. Blame the water. Blame this whole idea of taking a vacation. Maybe it's the problem. I think it's important to step away for a while. Say, maybe they don't need me 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Maybe I don't have to stay fully aware of everything. Maybe it is not being irresponsible to catch my breath. Maybe I can come up for air, as George Orwell said in one of his novels, Coming Up for Air. Coming up for air. I read Coming Up for Air. I enjoyed it. Person felt stifled by their life, and so they wanted to return to the fishing pond of their youth. And of course, they went back, and it was overgrown and ugly and horrible, and this person couldn't really escape. They knew that what they had to do was change their perspective. It wasn't going to work that way. They couldn't run away. They couldn't run back to the past. That wasn't going to happen again. We can't go back. to the clouds. Yes, we can. That's the way water works.
Oh, good. I was worried there for a minute. You're absolutely right. We're going to evaporate and we're going to be right back up where we started from. I told you I would leave you where I found you.
I'm no liar. Another thing that's very interesting about coming up for air is the character during World War II is stationed, I believe, in Wales in an office doing nothing. And he has a stack of books. And one of those stack of books is by an author named Oliver Onions. And Oliver Onions is the pen name of, I don't remember. But I read that book, and then I saw the Oliver Onions, and I said, I'm going to look up Oliver Onions. And then I got Oliver Onions' collection of short stories, one of which is called Widdershins. Widdershins is that old-timey word for counterclockwise. Is the clock moving this way? No, it's going Widdershins. It's going backwards. And I guess it has a kind of a witchcraft, satanic connotation or something. I don't know much about anything. But I read it, and it was a kind of a ghost story about a weird house or something, possessed kind of house. And I really enjoyed it. And I said, man, I wish that I knew Oliver Onions. And then all of a sudden, I was thrust into a different timeline, a timeline where my friend Butchie Spinoza was someone named Mozahowitz, not Butchie Spinoza. And this Mozahowitz had an old-time radio show, kind of like Jack Benny. And Jack Benny had around him, you know, his director and producer and announcer and everything, and they'd all interact and be funny with him. And Mozahowitz had the same thing. And I looked there, and Mozahowitz had a director, and his name's Oliver Onions. What a coincidence. And I thought, this is amazing. Except this Oliver, and you know this Oliver, if you listen to this show for a while, he gets very flustered. That's all he is one big fluster. He's just always worried about something. And so finally, one time, accidentally, on Fantasy Island, he was turned into a fish. And when he became a fish, he calmed down. He became liberated. He didn't feel all that stress anymore. He was free. He didn't have to be Oliver Onions. He didn't have to have all the pressure of the Mozahowitz show on his shoulders. He could just swim. And when he did that, he was like, man, I would have been such a better director. And so he went back to being director of the Mozahowitz show, but this time as a fish. And he's in a tank, and they bring him in a tank. Most of the time he's in a stream, but he'll jump into a fish tank, and he'll come, and he'll direct the show. Isn't that a good Oliver? I could do a good Oliver. Whoa, where's Mo? And he hates it when I do that to his face. But he directs the show, and he's just got a better attitude about it. Doesn't feel that weight of that world. He's like, I'm a fish. At the end of the day, I'm a fish. you can't expect anything of me. Everything I do as a fish is wonderful. A fish who directs an old-time radio show? Come on. That's great. A drop of water? You could even accomplish more if you're just a drop of water, couldn't you? I'd rather go back and do my job. I'm inspired now, Hardy. I'm going to go back and do my work, and I'm just going to be a vapor cloud. Try it. Try it. I don't know if it gets you. I hope it doesn't get you fired or anything. But is there any way that you could do your job without the weight of the world on it? I don't know. I don't know. That's why I know that it's important to take you here for an hour and clean you off. That's the first thing I want to do, is just wash all of that off of you. Take a bath first. And then we're going to put on a really clean robe, all right? And that feel that freshly washed, clean robe. Just like being born all over again, except this time you're not as stressed out about it. The first time I was born, I was all like, what is this? Oh, my God. Like that. That was the first thing I ever said. I was horrified. But now, you know, I can put it in perspective a little more. And when I found out that I could talk to people, I didn't even have to necessarily face them, and we didn't have to exchange pleasantries. We didn't have to pretend to get to know one another. I didn't have to justify my existence. I didn't have to justify my qualifications. Who cares who I am?
Who cares what my background is? Who cares if I'm giving you something that you could use? Who cares? When I need something, when I'm desperate, when I'm frightened, and someone gives me directions, or someone helps me, or someone points me to the right train, I don't care who they are. That act of kindness, to me, makes them huge in my mind. Just beautiful saints. That's enough for me. And maybe it's enough for others. So, maybe just those small things that you can do, these little moments we have together, maybe they're kind of enough sometimes. Maybe that we can heal one another and heal ourselves by stepping back for a moment, by going up to the clouds and being some mist, looking down on things and thinking, I can love this without thinking that it's all my responsibility. I can love the world from a distance. I can hug it. I can love all beings if I don't have to get up close to them and hear the garbage coming out of their mouth. Then I can feel that. I just need, and I know maybe that's not a realistic place to stay all the time. You can't stay in the cloud. Eventually, you're going to condense and you're going to drop to the earth and you're going to be in that stream, and then you're going to be required to do some work at the mill, and then you're going to go back into the water, and then you're going to get sucked up to the sky again. But there's no reason not to enjoy it together in those little minutes where we are vapor or we're sitting by that creek. I love to say thank you more than anything, because when I start being grateful, I get carried away. I get carried away with my gratitude. When I think about all the things that I could not have done but for the help of others, but for other people showing me love and generosity, I realize that it's almost everything, and almost nothing have I done for myself. And then I think, what if it's all like, maybe none of us have done anything for ourselves. Maybe it's all of us doing things for others. Oh, that's the key. That's the key. Don't discount the good you've done. Don't discount the help you've given. Don't discount the small amounts of love you showed. I know you've made mistakes. I know that you have done things that you might be embarrassed about. You might feel badly, feel cannot be redeemed. No one will ever forgive me. How about this? I don't even know about it. So I can start loving you without consequence. And I never have to know you. So all you can do is be here, and I will always speak to you as if you are a pure spirit. And that may help you, give you the strength for redemption, because I don't know enough to judge you. Now, when I know somebody, I can't ignore things all the time, right? I'm not perfect. I have emotions. I get scared. I have defensive things. I have anger. But I don't think there's anything wrong with you taking a break from your self-torture to allow yourself to be loved, even if it's just in theory. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Oh, my friends, you are listening to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, 91.9. In New York City, New York, and Rockland County, New York, where I have now verified strange miracles and coincidences, and online, WFMU.org, worldwide. Oh, blessings to all my friends around the world. I know who you are. You give me strength. Strength to you and peace. And I'll see you again next week. Understand.
live so God can use you. He can use you anywhere. You have to worry about the time. Well, and you ought to live.
You ought to live.
So my God can use
you. You are too.
Brothers and sisters, we have gathered here once again for another edition of the Sinner's Crossroads Gospel Broadcast. Hallelujah. Dixie Harmonizers right there. Woo-hoo. Jesus is the light of the world. That's what they were singing about.